And I understand we have Regina on the line with us. We had a few technical problems this morning. Hello, Regina.
Hi. Sorry about that. I live in a very rural area.
Yes, I understand that. Well, tell us a little bit about the symposium and some of the things that happened, specifically the Land Back Symposium that was hosted by Cal Poly Humboldt.
Yeah, about a year ago, a little more, we had the first ever Northern California Land Back Symposium, and it was hosted at Humboldt State University, actually Cal Poly Humboldt now, with between Save California Salmon and many tribes, universities, and lawmakers in California. And it was a really wonderful symposium that went into ways to make sure that land can be both returned to tribes and managed by tribes in California. And we did talk a lot about, universities and how a lot of them were built on tribal lands, national forest lands, state lands, and private lands, and ways that people are returning lands to tribes, especially landless tribes in California, how that's happening and how that could happen better, because there are a lot of laws that do impede land return. And so that happened about a year ago, and from that conference came this new Land Back Special Report, which just goes through some of the history of taking of land, and then also talks about how land is being returned and how policies can change to make sure that land can better be returned and make sure that co-management can happen in an easier and better way.
Now, is that the so-called red paper, or is that something different?
Yeah, red paper is a nickname. It's actually called the California Land Back Special Report.
And as a result of that report, what are some goals or aspirations that you have from the effort that was done there?
Well, one of the findings, along with the fact that, very little land is in tribal hands in California, is that the people who are in the front lines of both climate change and climate change adaptation are tribes. So we see this a lot, for instance, with fire and the return of prescribed fire and cultural fire to the landscape in order to really deal with the impacts of climate change, more extreme fires. A really good example of that would be here in Orleans, where I live. We've had two large fires right in the town and next to the town that haven't burnt any houses down and really mainly haven't even burnt that hot. And that's the result of, almost a couple decades now of bringing fire back to the landscape. Whereas upriver, where less of that work is done, we've actually seen some houses burn down. So that is just one example of how tribal management is helping to make sure that we're dealing with the impacts of climate change. There's also a lot of examples along the coast that are specific to land back, where the Wiat tribe or Yurok tribe are getting the lands back and restoring, tidal floodplains or river floodplains. And that helps with the impacts of flooding, but also with, groundwater needing to recharge. So what this report does really go into in a lot of different ways, besides the fact that it's a critical justice issue to return land, is that it's also something that benefits all people, because tribes do have both the commitment and the traditional knowledge to be able to manage the lands and waters in a way that can really help protect us from the impacts of climate change. And so the report talks about specific policies, which might get a little wonky for your audience, but in California we have an initiative called 30 by 30, or nature-based solutions, that is meant to preserve lands to help with impacts of climate change. And there is a land return grant process and a lot of co-management process within that state law. And we're really hoping that more states will come up with climate change adaptation plans that include land return and tribal management, and also a lot more federal policies start dealing with that, because obviously the biggest landowner in the United States is the federal government.
You know, a while back, and I don't know all the details on this, but the Oneida tribe in New York reacquired some of their ancestral land. And I know it wound its way through the court system, and there was some ruling that eventually that they had to pay taxes on the land that came back. Can you give an overview on that, and will that be an impact for the Shasta Indian people?
Well, that is a big thing that comes with land return. A lot of times tribes do have to pay taxes until they have it, they move to put it in trust, and that process can take a long time, up to 10 years. I think the tribe has to have the land back actually for many years before they can move it into trust.
Hmm.
And once it's in trust, they don't have to pay taxes, and then they can also have more opportunities to manage in a better and holistic way. But, you know, that's a huge impediment, and that did come up specifically at this, especially for non-federally recognized tribes. How do we make sure that there are tax breaks for tribes that are getting land back, but also, you know, tax breaks for people who are trying to get lands back to tribes? Because, you know, if land is being given back to tribes, then that land accusation, shouldn't really be subject to the same laws as a typical land transaction. People should not be punished for trying to seek justice. And that's unfortunate that ruling did come down in New York, but that's just an example. There's a lot of laws and policies that do need to be updated and changed, because our laws and policies were made to take away lands and waters from tribes. You know, we have a long history of attempted genocide in the United States. And there's a lot of laws and policies that even say, like, cities or universities can give land to the city or to the county, or excess lands can be sold. But there's not always language that's really specific that tribes are local governments and are subject to those same types of, giving land back or first right or refusal laws. So, that's one of the things this report actually has, is a whole section on policy recommendations so that we can get around those types of things.
We've been speaking with Regina Cicciozzola about this land back special report that came out and steps ahead. Also, you're the executive director of Save California Salmon. Appreciate you being with us. It's kind of a shortened segment this morning, but thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Okay, and thank you for having me. And anyone who wants to read the report, it's on our website and available for download.
Thank you much.